actually spent 30 years in Escondido, California, where I was pastoring a little Reformed Baptist church, 250 people. And I was also directing a biblical counseling center there, involved in it for over 20 years, and I was the director for the last 10. And a few years ago, I was approached by Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, where something really significant happened, and that is that Reformed Seminary, and they have multiple campuses. They have campuses in Jackson and in Mississippi and in Orlando, Florida, that prepare people for state licensure to be licensed therapists, which would be integrationist, not biblical counseling. But the campus president in Charlotte, who was actually a former intern of mine, was in our church in the 90s, Mike Krueger, is convinced of biblical counseling, and they wanted to bring biblical counseling to our campus in Charlotte. And so we were persuaded to, I thought I was going to live in Escondido the rest of my life, and very happy in the church there, teaching a little bit at Masters University, and like the ideal life. And we were persuaded, and 2.5 years ago, we moved to Charlotte, and I'm now in my third year teaching biblical counseling there. But it's been very exciting. It's just like, I think it was like in the early 90s when Masters went from having a psychology department to having a biblical counseling program when they brought Wayne Mack in. Southern Seminary, likewise, when Al Mohler came and bringing in the people who are now there teaching biblical counseling. So it's been exciting to be in that position to get to start a program and to see what the Lord is doing. Faith has a wonderful program as well. Ours would be a little different. So we're moving on actually to a more academic subject, and it's talking about the influence of nature and nurture in counseling. And there's something called the Biblical Counseling Coalition, which is bringing together the alphabet soup of biblical counseling, IABC, IBCD, ACBC, ABC, all these people, faith, various seminaries that teach biblical counseling, where people who agree on the fundamentals of biblical counseling. And the first book that this group published is called Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling, which is laying out the basics of what we believe in biblical counseling. And the chapter that I was asked to teach is actually what I'm going to be teaching. I mean, what I was asked to write is what I'm going to be teaching now, which is how do we as biblical counselors understand the influence of nature and nurture. I'll give you a real case where, or slightly details change, but you have a woman, call her Connie, and when she was young, she grew up in a family where her parents were labeled as alcoholics. She saw a lot of drinking. When she was high school and college, she was a bit of a party girl and did a lot of drinking then. She then converted while in college, married a nice man after college, and now she's in her 40s. In the last couple of years, she's gone back to drinking. And she's actually drinking so much, they took away kind of money, credit cards, and she actually went and pawned the silver to get more booze. And the question is, why is she this way? Is she this way because there's an alcoholism gene in her family, and she inherited it biologically, genetically from her parents? Is she this way because the bad example of the way she was raised, and she's following the parental example? To what extent does the way our body is influence us, and then the way people around us, outside of us, influence us? And psychology has typically talked about nature and nurture, and among psychologists, there's lots of debate. Let me give you briefly my take on secular psychology, and that would be that, in general, they are pretty good at making observations. They can observe behavior and connections and do science on the level of observation well, but they're not very good at interpreting what they observe because they don't understand who man is. If psuche means soul, study of the soul psychology, and if you don't even believe we have a soul and that we're only a body, you're going to come up with some poor conclusions. If you don't understand that we're made in God's image and that we're fallen, your interpretation of what's wrong with us is going to be flawed. And then, of course, the solution they get is wrong in the sense that we understand the ultimate solution for man's problems. The cause is sin. The solution is redemption. It's the gospel. and they're going to come up, if they think it's nature, they're going to want to give you a pill or something to offset what your body is doing to make you depressed, angry, whatever, drunk. Or nurture, then they may want to try talk therapy or something to try to dig you out of that. Because of our understanding of Scripture, and this is a very important point, summarizing everything would be, we believe that your body is an influence on you. We are embodied souls, right? You have a soul and a body, and there's a spiritual and material part of us, but there's a physical part, and these are interacting with each other. And we believe that the body, your body will influence your soul, and I'll get into that more as we keep going. And we also are embodied souls living in society. And so in that sense, the people around us and what's going on around us, these will influence us. But there's a difference between influence and cause. That our body or the people around us can have an influence on us, but they can't make us do stuff. And you can't say, you made me angry. You could say, you tempted me to be angry, but no one can make you angry. It's an influence. Somebody who's very, very tired can say, I got mad because I was so tired, or I'm grumpy because I'm so tired. Well, I understand how being really, really tired tempts you to be grumpy, but it can't make you grumpy. Because, you know, the Bible teaches that our souls have ultimate responsibility. But sometimes a criticism of biblical counseling is that you people don't care about the past, you people don't care about the body, all you care about is the Bible, and I don't mind being blamed for caring a whole lot about the Bible. But the Bible says that the people around us influence us, and we need to understand that. And the Bible says our body influences us. And so when you're counseling people, sometimes what has happened to them in the past is really important. And sometimes what's happening to them physically is really important. If someone is autistic and that's something physical going on with that person, in order to help that person well, you need to understand how that autism affects how they react with people and what's happening there. If someone was raised in has been sexually abused and raised in a home of drunkards, that can be relevant. And you know, the best book addressing what people have done to you is actually Steve Vire's book, Putting Your Past in Its Place, in terms of processing the hard things that have happened to you in a biblical way. So that's another acknowledgement that in some counselees, what's going on with their body or what's happened to them in the past has a lot of relevance, more than others. In general, like I watch Caroline counseling women, and you know, she had a woman come in who was promiscuous in many, many relationships. And Caroline, you know, heard some of that and began to address from Scripture the heart issues that appear to be leading to that behavior. And the lady got mad and said, I thought you were going to ask me about my childhood. And it's not that we're not interested in your childhood, but we don't need to spend 7 hours talking about your childhood. We tend to get to the present and try to understand the past influence that, unlike how psychology would practice. So, and I personally would acknowledge that I've grown in trying to understand how especially the body affects people. I had early cases in my counseling. I talk in the book about a guy I called Harry, where he came in and he was depressed and he was drinking too much and had problems in his marriage, and he had been labeled an alcoholic, he'd been put on antidepressants, he was told he'd have to go to AA meetings the rest of his life, he was told he'd be taking pills the rest of his life, the pills were making him so sleepy, he was sleeping 16 hours a day, he was late 60s, and as he came in, we discovered sin issues. When those were dealt with, he quit AA, he quit the psychiatrist, he quit the medications. By the way, always under a doctor's supervision, don't flush the pills. People have horrible side effects from getting off of medications as well as from the medications. So, but over time, he chose that, and this is now over 20 years ago, and he hasn't been drunk, severely depressed. His marriage was greatly improved. And so you know, the secular experts had completely wrongly identified what was wrong with him. And we actually had gone to Psalm 32, where David said, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. In his case, there were sin issues. And there are other causes of even the bodily struggles that people have. But then I also had